Well, thank you so much, ladies. I appreciate that very, very much. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 6, if you will. Proverbs chapter 6. I have been doing a series of messages. We're going to do a second part from last week to get finished. I really want you to get this concept that we are dealing with here. Our theme this year is choose life. If you're going to choose life, you've got to make some decisions. To not choose life is to choose death. So not to choose blessing is to choose to be left to the curse of this old world. And a lot of people say, well, I'll be fine, I don't need this thing. No, you're left in the sunk. You're sunk. You're left in the muck, in the mire. You're left in the quicksand. You've got to choose to come out of it. It doesn't happen by accident. We're born fools, and the rod of correction shall drive it far from us. But we're born fools, and we don't allow ourselves to be corrected. We stay fools. And so when we talked about being choosing life, we spent a lot of time with that. Then a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact we're going to choose life. That means we've got to choose Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. There is no life without Jesus. He came in the world, and the world was made by him, and in him was life. And the life was the light of men. So we've got Jesus is the life. There is no life. He's the self-existing one. He's the creator of the universe. In him is life. And he said, I came to bring life and life more abundantly. Jesus is life. So you're going to choose life. You've got to choose Jesus. You can't choose life without Jesus. Our world is trying to choose life without Jesus. You mention the name Jesus, all of a sudden they get mad at you. All of a sudden you're dealing with sectarian thoughts, you know. I was noticing we were in our process of moving. You find all kinds of things, and I found a newspaper article from the Carroll County, Maryland, where I came from, and it was back I don't know about 10 years ago, and they made a decision in their public meetings that they were going to allow to have prayers, but they had to be non-sectarian prayers. You could not pray directly to someone such as Jesus Christ. Well, then who are you praying to? You pray into the air, or are you actually going to pray to God? Is it, you know, our president stood up and said something the other day and said we should pray. We watched it. He said we should pray. Well, pray to who? Prayers. A lot of people are praying to the universe. They're praying to the air. They're expecting somehow we say this. You say they have faith. Keep the faith. He keeps saying we've got to keep the faith. What faith? Faith is only as good as the object of the faith. And so you've got, as you see, we're going to keep faith. So we've got to make decisions. You can't just go through life and just kind of let things go as they can and expect it to come out right. I mean, try to make biscuits like that, ladies. You know, just, well, let's throw a little bit of this in and throw a little bit of that and see what happens. You know, well, we're going to see what happens, and then we're going to throw it in the trash can, and we're going to start over again, and we're going to be calling Pizza Hut. So we got to be careful. You can't just let things happen like that. Now, last week I talked about the passage in Ecclesiastes. You don't need to turn to it, but Ecclesiastes 7:12. Of course, this was written by a man, Solomon, who had gotten out in the world. His women had gotten his eyes off of the things of the Lord, and he went out looking for joy and happiness and fulfillment in the world. And he went out there, and he looked, and looked, and looked, and he found out it was all vanity, bunch of empty foolishness. And you've got it, and now what, you know? And so he, in there, he learned some things. He said he learned in Ecclesiastes 7:12, it says, wisdom giveth life to them that have it. To them that have it. He found out that wisdom is really what gives us life. The fact is, a lot of folks don't have it. But if you have it, wisdom will give you life. Now, in our passage here in Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. How do you get wisdom? You get wisdom by being instructed. If we're going to be instructed, then chances are we're going to be corrected. You ever try to teach your I guess it's getting close to lunch here to keep talking about food. But have you ever tried to, ladies, you ever tried to teach your five-year-old daughter to cook? She does everything natural, right? Now, she naturally makes a mess. And you're hold on. But mommy, you know how it is? And hold on. Let mommy show you how we're going to do this. Because you know how it is, all of a sudden, poof, flour is everywhere and the egg is on the floor and you're trying to cook. You say, okay, I'm going to give you some instruction. And a lot of people start in life and they just start plowing through life and they wonder why they have a mess, why it tastes like not good, and because we have decided to attack life, we've tried to put all the pieces of life together, but we don't have the recipe. And if we have the recipe, we don't know how it all goes together. My mom always said, now when you're making biscuits, don't overwork it. Because then you use them for hockey pucks. So you get it in there, and you kind of fold the butter in, as they say. You just kind of fold it in and let it do its job there. And it comes back all flaky and so forth. And man, all right. So life is good. And wisdom brings life. You know how to do it. It brings life to them that have it. But if you've got to have it, unless we're willing, what does it say? Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We have to be willing to be reproved. That means corrected. Told that we are wrong. That's hard to admit that we're wrong. We have to be corrected. But reproofs of instruction are the way of life. In Proverbs 10:17, it says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. If instruction is the way of life, then someone who's willing to be instructed is in the way of life. He's on his way to having a life. A lot of people think, I don't have time for instruction. I don't want to hear all this mess. I want to go live life. But wait a minute, watch. Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. What does that mean? He's making a big mistake. In fact, he's in the way of death. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. I want to pray here this morning. I'm going to do a part two from last week entitled Choose Instruction. Choose Instruction. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these truths. Thank you for not just allowing us to live life at errors headed for destruction. Thank you for taking your time, Lord. In your grace to give us the instruction, to make it available to us. And I pray for each one of us that we will not be a fool who thinks he knows everything, but will be wise and thus will seek wisdom to be even wiser. You have a wonderful life that you've set before us. But so often we make things difficult for ourselves. Because we're not willing to be in the way of life, because we refuse instruction. So Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to move. Apply this as you would for each person, that we may not be forgetful hearers, but to have ears to hear, so we may learn, be corrected, find wisdom, and find life. We ask in Christ's name, and we give him the praise. Amen. I believe there was an old movie that was entitled something like along the lines, The Night of the Walking Dead or The Night of the Living Dead, or was it anybody? Remember? Anyway, I think there was. I never saw it. But I think it was about zombies. And sometimes We can become so lost in the trials and the problems and the issues of this world that we kind of walk around like mindless zombies, just trying to get through the day, just struggling to maintain our existence. Some folks live a life where they have attained many comforts of this world. And in fact, that is what they live for. And they too are simply living from one carnal desire to the next. 2 Timothy 5:6 says, "But she that liveth is in pleasure is dead while she liveth." All can have all kinds of things and be dead on the inside. Why is there so much drugs and alcohol in the upper class and Hollywood and everybody that has money? You would think, well, if I had all that money, you hear about that guy who won the lottery ticket, he won over $1 billion or something, what it was this past weekend on the news. That's dangerous. That's so dangerous. This has nothing to do with the message. I was thinking, what if I won? I wouldn't. It's not going to happen because I don't play. Got to play to win. But if I played and I won, I wouldn't want anybody to know it. Can you imagine if the preacher won $1 billion? First of all, it's kind of like getting a hole in one. You heard about the preacher who went golfing on Sunday morning, and he was supposed to go someplace and preach, and he wasn't going to be in his regular church, but he decided he was going to go, and it turned out the place he was supposed to preach got canceled, and he said, "Man, I got a free morning. They don't know I'm not supposed to be there. I'm going to go golf. And won't be anybody out there." So he went out. He went golfing, got a hole in one, and St. Peter asked God, "Why'd you give him a hole in one?" He says, "Who's he going to tell?" Anyway, we've got these lives that we live, and we just feel lost. We feel like we have everything, but we have nothing. We have nothing. But anyway, I was thinking about that. If I was the preacher and I won a $1 billion, everybody would have their hand out. You know what I mean? And if I didn't give it to them, they'd all be mad at me. I wouldn't get anything done. My ministry would be over. That's the truth. And people walk around looking for things. Now, there are rules, laws, if you will, a certain path in life that leads us to a fulfilling existence. Purpose and meaning in life are not found in the frivolity and the lust of this world. In fact, all that's in this world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And this world is passing away, and the lust with it. We're searching for a life while all the time we're dying on the inside. When we are born, we're naturally led by our foolish lusts, and foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and that foolishness can be driven far from us. However, that foolishness can also be ignored and allowed to continue to guide us through life, even unto death. If we have any wisdom at all, we will seek to be cured of our foolishness and be instilled with godly wisdom. Because there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. On the other hand, wisdom gives life to them that have it. Wisdom is the principal thing, the Bible says. So get wisdom. And again, wisdom does not come automatically. We must seek wisdom. And in other words, we must be instructed. If we refuse to be instructed and trust that our foolish hearts will eventually fall into wisdom, we are deceiving ourselves. We say within ourselves, "Why should I be instructed by another person? What would make that man's wisdom any greater than my wisdom?" Well, that's the point. One man's wisdom is not necessarily greater than another man's wisdom, but God's wisdom, found in God's word, is higher than the wisdom of man. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Last week we had three basic points. We kind of ended up on the fourth point, but number one, we found out he that doesn't want instruction is a fool. You didn't become a fool when you said you didn't want instruction. You were a fool because you didn't want instruction. A fool does not want instruction, so a fool, by the way, doesn't want God. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God," Psalm 14. A fool doesn't want God because a fool doesn't want to be told what to do. That's exactly why a lot of folks decide, "I'm going to be an atheist because I don't want God telling me what to do." Don't you shove your religion down. We got all these people got signs and stuff about abortion and said, keep your religion out of my uterus. I'm sorry, God's everywhere. You can try, I can keep my mouth shut, but God's still there. And the thing is that there's that still small voice in there saying, you know it's wrong whether I ever said it or not. Number two, we found out it is wise for us to be instructed. A fool does not want to be instructed, but if you're wise enough, you will want to be instructed. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, excuse me. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They look down on it. They make light of it. That's really what despise means. It doesn't really mean I hate her with a vengeance. No, despise really means it doesn't mean anything. You discount it. You're looking down on it. You disesteem it. A fool just doesn't see any worth in wisdom and instruction. He says, it goes on, says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck. When it says chains about thy neck, it's not like it's a ball and chain. It's talking about a nice ornament. Proverbs 4:5 says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. She'll keep you alive. Love her, and she shall keep thee. She'll guard and protect thee. It's wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Proverbs 4:13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Proverbs 6, when thou goest, wisdom shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, this shall keep thee. When thou wakest, this shall talk with thee. And the commandment of those lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs and instruction are the way of life. Understanding is a wellspring of life, and unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. It is wise to be instructed. He that doesn't want instruction, though, is a fool. Number three, those that have any wisdom are wise enough to know that they need more wisdom. Proverbs 8:9-8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will be increased in learning. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. He that doesn't want instruction is a fool, but it's wise to be instructed. And those that have any wisdom at all are wise enough to know they need more wisdom. We ended up with this last point last week. We must choose to be instructed. Good instruction can be going all around us, and yet we will not be instructed unless we decide to take in and receive the instruction. Do you ever get finished in a school class and got all done and you're just kind of dazed over the entire time? And you get all done, you have no idea what happened? Sometimes you do that on Sunday morning, don't you? You know, just a daze. What did he say? Jesus said several times, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, some of you have heard me saying this. What that means is what your dog does when someone steps on the front porch and he hears them before anybody else does. Your dog's just laying there doing nothing. And all of a sudden he goes, and his ears perk up. He has ears to hear. He puts on his hearing ears. Jesus said, I want you to put on your hearing ears. There's an awful lot of folks who's like old Blue, laying on the front porch. You ever heard the guy was there, he was visiting his buddy, they lived up in the hills there, and an old hound dog Blue was laying there. Every once in a while Blue would go, rrr, and he lay back down. A little while later, lay back down. And the guy said, what in the world's wrong with your dog? He said, well, he's laying on a nail, and he's too lazy to get up. And that's kind of the way we get sometimes. We're laying on a nail, we're too lazy to get up. The life is poking a hole in us, and we're too lazy to get some instruction. Proverbs 17:6. Why don't you keep your Bible handy? We're going to float around. If you got the push button Bible or something, you hang tight with me here. We always accuse. When we were kids, we used to do sword drills in Bible class, you know, and so forth, you know. And we always accused this one girl of having a push-button Bible because she could find that thing just like that. And we wouldn't let her. For a little while, we had this one kid that had the little markers on the side. We didn't let him do that. But anyway, Proverbs 17:16 says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" In other words, it's not worth it for a fool to get wisdom. Not worth what? Anything. He's not paying for. He's not going to waste the time or the energy or the money to get wisdom. I'm good enough all by myself. Wisdom is of little value to a fool who thinks he already knows all he needs to know. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. He's going to go where wisdom is being propagated. Why? To understand the proverb and the interpretation. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 17:24, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. When our kids were little, and it's time for them to be instructed, and you're trying to talk to them, and you say, "Now, look at me," right? You ever do that with the kids? "Look at me. I'm going to tell you something here," and they go, "I said, no, look at me," and so you take their face, going, and so their eyes go over there, so you move over to that side where their eyes, and they shoot their eyes the other direction here. They don't want to look, because they're afraid if they look, the eyes being the window of the soul is going to make some kind of connection, and they might be convicted and find out that they're actually wrong, and they don't want to hear it. And a fool is looking everywhere except where the wisdom's coming from. A fool's looking to all the craziness. A fool goes to Wikipedia. Now, we all get a couple little things. I understand there, but, you know, people just put whatever they want to put on there. It doesn't have to be right. In fact, recently, they've changed some definitions here and there in other places. By the way, they've changed the definition of recession. You know, you heard about that, right? They've changed the definition. And they've actually gone through on certain websites and changed the definition. And so the fact is, a fool is looking. His eyes are at the ends of the earth. He's looking for instruction from someplace else because he wants to avoid what God has to say. Proverbs 18:2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. I'm going to find myself. I know where you are. Ask me. I'm going to find out if I'm a man or a woman. Ask me. I can tell you. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's an extreme example, but I'm going to find myself. I don't know what truth is. I need to listen, the heart is deceitful, above all, desperately wicked. Who could know it? But I, the Lord, trieth the heart. He knows what's in our heart. He knows in His Word, He can tell you better what's in your heart than you can. I can't tell you. I've saw long since lost count. Not just because I can't count. But I've all since lost count. How many people have said, "Preacher, I would have swear you were looking in my window this afternoon, this week." And because you preached everything I've been struggling with this in your message that I've been struggling with this week. How'd you do that? I didn't have to do anything. God's already done it. He knows our hearts. And there's nothing new under the sun. There's no temptation that hath taken you except that which is common to man. All I got to do is make my rounds. And the Lord may say, "I want you to preach on this one this week," or "I want you to preach on this one this week." But there's nothing new. It's all right there. It's common. God knows our hearts. But where I'm going to find is I'm going to discover my heart. You don't need to discover your heart because then there are a bunch of lies. Proverbs 27:22. Though thou shouldst bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Well, what in the world is that? Well, did you ever get one of those little granite bowls and little granite mortar things, that, you know, mortar in the pot, you know, and like you're going to crush pills, or maybe you're going to grind a little bit of grain or something. You know what? Or sometimes they do the same thing with spices. You know, they'll crush it like that. Or it could even be, you know, a millstone going around. In other words, God can put a fool through the mill, and he's still going to stick around with his foolishness. It seems like no matter, we can go through great problems and stresses and pressure, and yet for some reason we'll hang on to our foolishness. And God's been trying to get our attention. And sometimes they say, well, I don't understand why God does this. He's just a big meanie. He's trying to get your attention. Sometimes he gets you all the way down flat on your back, so all you can do is look up. Oh, yeah, God. Now, we don't have to wait him. We don't have to go rock bottom before we come to God. We can be smart, be wise, and say, I'm going to seek before I hit rock bottom. But there's an awful lot of people who live and think they're going to have to be at rock bottom. Proverbs 23:12. Apply thine heart unto instruction, thine ears to the words of knowledge. In other words, allow your heart to dwell. Apply thine heart unto destruction. Instruction. Instruction can be out there, but do you apply it? Do you receive it? Do you put it in the context of your own life? It's there, but you've got to decide whether you're going to use it or not. Proverbs 15:5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth or attends or allows it or pays attention to it, he that regardeth instruction, reproof is prudent. In other words, he that regardeth reproof, the correction, is a smart thing to do. It's a smart thing to do. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Proverbs 15:32. If you hear the reproof, you'll get some understanding. Watch this. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Watch me not. He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul. He's looking down on himself. You know, I think there's some people who think, well, you know, why am I going to bother getting wisdom? What am I ever going to do with that? What am I ever going to do with it? It'd be a waste. You say that I don't need wisdom is to say that this is all there is. It never gets any better than this. I can't tell you how many people say, well, I'm a lost cause. Why bother? And God says, watch. He that refuseth instruction despises, looks down on his own soul. But watch, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. If I was somebody important, maybe I'd go get some wisdom. He says, you know how to become, well, maybe so, but you know how you become somebody important? Humble yourself before God. I think I've heard that before. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, and therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When I'm going to pick on Nathan again, I'm sorry, but my son Nathan over here, when he was in high school, he, just like myself, I did the same thing. I was a long time going into the ministry because I really didn't think God could use me in the ministry. I said, I'm just Sterl from Carroll County. That's short for Sterling. You can't call me Sterl. I'm just Sterl from Carroll County. Little county of 75,000 people. God, I mean, no one knows where I am. How would I ever be able to be used of God? And that's the way I felt. In fact, when I came up here, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do something. I think God wants me to. Whether anybody else wants me to or not, I'm going to go up and do something because I'm going to find some church that has nobody, and I hope I'm better than nothing. Really, that was the reason why I went ahead and looked for a church. I said, I'm putting my name out there. Now, it turned out that God came looking for me. I didn't come looking for this church. They came looking for me. God did, sent the former preacher in there to find me. But I said, you know what, I hope I'm better than nothing. I'll go do something. But I remember Nathan, he was in high school, and said, well, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. We had this, and the house we just sold, in the front yard there, we had a driveway that was like a circle. And there was grass and landscaping in this circle. And when we first moved in, we didn't have the money to finish all this off, so it was just a pile of dirt. I mean, it was a front yard, pile of dirt in that front yard, all it was. And it kind of had a little slope there to it, but something needed to be done to it. So I said to Nathan, I said, we're going to go out and landscape that. He was not happy with me. I mean, he didn't get mad. I mean, he's always been a good son. He's been obedient, but he was not happy. But we went out there and we worked and we dug that out, and we ended up putting a little flat spot with some stones and put a little retaining wall up there, and went out to Darren Russell's place and got some stones out of his place and put some stones up there and got some little concrete benches you can find down at the place over there past Thomasville toward Gettysburg, and put a couple of those out there, and we landscaped and put some steps up between them, you know. And it really looked nice. We got all done, and Nathan goes, that looks pretty good. That's pretty good. Well, he got to thinking, and he decided that, you know, maybe he wanted to be a landscaper. And I said, well, that's a good, honest job. There's nothing wrong with that. And if anybody else knew him about that time, he got in the point where he's such a student. He bought all these books on trees. And he could tell us all this tree and how this tree worked, and this bush. He was learning it all. In fact, for his 16th birthday, they gave him two pear trees. And a partridge. Two pear trees. And we put two pear trees in our backyard. And he said, I think I want to be a landscaper. And I said, well, you know what? I said, there's nothing wrong with being a landscaper. But I said, one of these days you're going to get old like your dad, and you're not going to want to do all this work. It's going to get hard. And you'll be doing more administrating than you are out in the trees and so forth. And I said, it's hard work. And I said, there's nothing wrong with it. But I said, you might want to explore some other options. I think you'd be surprised what you might be capable of doing. And, I don't know, he said, well, see, so Sterl, that's my oldest son, the third, he says, he's just so smart. He's a biology major. He writes computer software now. And he's so smart, you know. And said, now, Esther, that's my oldest daughter, and most of you know her, she says, she plays piano. She can just play anything she wants to play. She's got that. And she said, Hannah, she's just a born teacher, and she's out there with her husband, and she's teaching right now in Cleveland Christian School there, and loves to teach. He says, but I don't have anything. I can't do anything. I thought, you might be surprised. I said, why don't you go to college and just get a Bible diploma? Just go that far and see what happens. All right. He ended up staying for 4 years. Came out valedictorian. And now he's halfway through his master's. Now, what I'm saying was, some people would just say, why bother? I can't do anything. That's Satan. God's got a plan for you, and what we need to do is say, get me as much wisdom as you can get. When I turned 30, that's when I went to college to be a pastor. I already had a college degree for music. But I thought, you know what? I don't know whether I'm ever going to use it. I don't know whether I'm ever going to become a pastor. But I can't believe that God would be upset with me to take a year of my life. I already had a college degree. I was going to get a second bachelor's degree out of the deal. I don't think God's going to get upset with me if I take a year or so out of my life and learn more about Him. Learn more of His Word. At least whatever I do, it's going to be better because I'm going to have more of God's Word in my heart. It's not going to hurt me. And that's what I did. I didn't know I was going to end up here. I didn't know this place even existed. But what I'm saying is this: he that refuseth instruction, I don't need any more, despises his own soul, looking down on his own possibilities. But before honor is humility. If I just say, God, well, whatever you want, instruction of wisdom, The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Let me go get, let me find out what God wants. And you might be surprised what God can do with you. We've got to move very fast. Number two, to hear and be instructed, we must stop talking and listen. To hear and be instructed, we must stop talking and listen. Too many people are too busy telling others what they know. And usually what they're telling everybody is how foolish they are. I don't mean mean. But often you hear the wisdom of the world coming out of our mouths. Proverbs 18:6 says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Fools often talk themselves into hot water. Again, a fool already feels like he already knows everything. So if he already knows anything, he's going to start propagating what he knows. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keep it in till afterwards. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. That's where we get the saying, it is better to be quiet and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and dispel all doubt. Proverbs 10:8 says this, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. What's prating mean? Prating means much use of the work of the lips, working your lips too much. Working your lips too much. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth him. But he that refuses reproof, refuses to be corrected, erreth. He's going to get off track. Going to go into verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As a whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous shall know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. We got a side that we need to know the Word of God. To choose wisdom is life to them who have it. But wisdom is not going to come without being corrected by the Word of God. But we're not going to be corrected by the Word of God if we don't shut our mouths and listen to the Word of God. We are so busy, whether it's verbally or in our heart, arguing with God and trying to tell Him why He doesn't know what He's talking about. And meantime, we're stuck. We're getting ourselves dug deeper and deeper into a mess. And then we wonder why we have the life that we have, and then we blame God. The man perverteth his way, and then he fretteth against the Lord. Number three, the life of a fool is hard. Remember, wisdom is life to them who have it. The life of a fool is hard. Why are we stuck under the curse? Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. In other words, wisdom is there if you're willing to listen to it. It's coming at you from all over the place if you'll listen to it. Verse 22, wisdom says, How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So, well, I don't understand it. If you will turn to it, the Holy Spirit will let you understand it. The Holy Spirit says, I will guide you in all truth. Verse 24, wisdom says, because I've called and ye've refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel with none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity and I will mock when your fear cometh. Don't wait until it's too late to get the wisdom. Have you ever seen hindsight? You knew what you had an idea of what you're supposed to do, but you made the wrong decision. And now you're in deep water. And all of a sudden, it's like the words of the wise comes back to your brain and says, you know what I should have done? And you think and you feel like such a fool. And it's almost as if wisdom is laughing at us. I told you, but you didn't listen. Verse 29, for they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. You know why the prosperity of the fool destroys them? They think they don't need God. They don't need help. I'm doing just fine. What if you had the prosperity and wisdom? In fact, suppose you had the wisdom to do right with the prosperity that God has given you. Maybe we would even gain more. Proverbs 8:1 says, O ye simple, understand wisdom, ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. You go back and read 8:1, the whole chapter 1 through 36 will be good for you. But I got to hasten on here. Number 4. We started out this called choose instruction. Choose wisdom. And we are now choose instruction. You've got to choose instruction. You've got to choose to be instructed. What if, this is what we think, number 4, what if I decide to omit the instruction? What if I just say, well, I don't need that? Well, Psalm 107 says, fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. The transgression means you went where you weren't supposed to go. It's a lot like trespass. You stepped where you weren't supposed to step. You went where you weren't supposed to go. And it'll be full of, say, you're going to be afflicted. You're going to be problems. Why? Why didn't I know where to go? Because I wasn't listening to the instructions. Some of us are making good time in the wrong direction. Janet and I were down. We were down at the Sword Conference last week. They've got some new roads. We were at a different hotel. So I've been doing this for 25 years. I know my way around there. But they put us at a different hotel, and we were going around, as my dad would say, Robin Hood's barn. You know, Robin Hood's barn was. The Sherwood Forest. You know, I mean, it was the whole forest. That's Robin Hood's barn. And so it felt like we were going around Robin Hood's barn to get there. And when we know that it was a road there, I saw a little bit over here. And so it was a brand spanking new road, but it wasn't on my GPS. In fact, when we got on there and the GPS, we were driving in the field according to the GPS. But we had to figure out what it was. So when we got ready to go home, I got on that road. We're going to head back, and we're making good time. We were, I don't know, 8 miles away. And all of a sudden, I realized the exits are going in the wrong direction. The exit numbers, they're going in the wrong direction. And I got on it and went headed in the wrong direction. We were making good time. So then I had to get off of there. And then we ended up going around. We had to go, again, around Robin Hood's barn to figure out a way to get back on that to head the other direction. And what was even worse, we had offered to take some other couple over to it, over to the place and the ride with us. And I'm looking like a fool because I didn't know which way we were going. And that's what happens when we don't know the Word of God. Poverty and shame, Proverbs 13:18, shall be to him that refuseth instruction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. 3:35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. That's what they're going to be known for, shame. Proverbs 19:29, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of the fools. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly shall surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. That's what happens if I decide to omit instruction. Number five. This is simple. God's word is your instruction. God's word is your instruction. 2 Timothy 3. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is your instruction. Number six, reading and studying God's word is more than just flattering the Lord. And what I mean by that is this. There's a lot of people who read the Bible, and it's almost as if they think, well, if I spend time reading the Bible, then the Lord's going to be happy with me and help my life not to have problems. That's not what this is saying. He said, if you read God's word and do what it says, you will avoid problems. Reading the Bible and studying God's word and learning His wisdom is not a good luck charm. It's not a way to hold it over the Lord to get out of Him what you want. Reading and studying the word of God is the instruction in righteousness and the correction from sin. If you have no desire to be free from sin and be instructed in righteousness, then don't waste your time reading and studying the word of God. Just remember, the fate of fools is not fun. The word of God is our instruction, and we must spend time. You're here this morning. You ought to be back again tonight. You ought to come for Sunday school. You ought to be here for Wednesday night. You ought to read your Bible in the morning. Read a little bit in the evening if you can. Get the word of God. Meditate on it day and night that thou mayest observe to do all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's what the word of God says. Number seven. Fools. A fool is who? One who thinks he knows everything. A fool is one who doesn't want to hear instruction, doesn't want to hear the wisdom of God's word. A fool, number seven, are a danger and a hurt to their friends and loved ones. So, well, you know, I'm a fool, but it's my own problem. The thing is, you never go down alone. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If you're the fool and you're doing foolish things, you're a hurt and a damage and a danger to those who love you. Because when they hang out with you, the Bible says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. They're eventually going to do something that they shouldn't have done. They're going to get into something they shouldn't have gotten into. And they're going to be destroyed because they were hanging out with you. If you're foolish. Isn't that a terrible thing? Awful. Think about it. You realize, listen, I know there's people, listen, young folks, they get married and say, well, they're really good, they're really good looking and they're funny and this and that, but if they're fools, if they're a fool, don't get married to them. Because now you're attached to a fool and a companion of fools shall be destroyed along with them. I mean, think about it. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 17, 12. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. He says, you're better off meeting a bear than getting hooked up with some fool. You just don't know what that guy's going to do. Proverbs 17, 21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his own sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Foolish children is our heartbreak. If you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for the ones who love you. So, number eight. This is wisdom. Stay away from fools. Stay away from fools. Proverbs 14, 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. You know what that means? Get away as quick as you. As soon as you realize who it is you're dealing with, get out of there. Get out of there. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand the way, but the folly of fools is deceit. They'll lie to you. They speak untruths. Verse 9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Proverbs 14, 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of a fool is made known. We'll eventually know what's in there. Some fools are so far gone, hate to say it, it's a waste of time to try to help them. Proverbs 23:9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Proverbs 24:7. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Proverbs 27:3. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them all. I know we've got to get done here. I got a very serious question now for you, though. After everything we've said, here's the question. I want you to ask yourself, am I a fool? That's where we're coming down to here this morning. Am I a fool? Am I in the ways of death, or am I in the way of life? How can I tell if I'm a fool? Well, you're going to always tell a fool. Can't tell him much, but you're going to always tell him. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. If you have a contradiction, or you're having a struggle between what you think and what the Bible says, whose word did you take? Yours or the Bible's? Proverbs 30:21. For three things the earth is disquieted, for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he's filled with meat. When you have everything's going well and you've got plenty in your pocket, all of a sudden you feel like you know it all. All of a sudden you change. All of a sudden you start getting proud, start telling everybody how it's supposed to be done. Proverbs 17:10. Reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Sometimes you get to the point where nobody can tell you anything. That's foolish. Proverbs 10:16. The labor of the righteous to life, tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked is sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. He that refuseth reproof erreth. Do you refuse to be corrected? Proverbs 10:23. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. Do you like doing things you probably shouldn't do? You actually get a thrill out of it? Proverbs 12:1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, and he that hateth reproof is brutish. You're going to recognize these. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Every prudent man deal with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Do you have a temper? Do you fly off the handle? Are you easily provoked? You might be a fool. A fool despises his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool doeth not. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Telling everybody else what they're supposed to be doing. Are you a fool? Do not become involved with a fool. And if you're the fool, stop it. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Wisdom is life to them that have it.